Hey everybody, it's Stephanie Courtney with the Shades of Motherhood Network. Welcome to Black Maternal Health Week. Now, we have lots of great people that are going to be coming and speaking to us about what they're working on, but most importantly, their book. We want to hear from some of the most integrative, progressive, inspirational writers across the country. We want to welcome Keisha McMillan, the author of Rock Your World Naturally. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I am excited to be doing this interview with you and your audience and to share about my book.
Yes. Well, Keisha, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know lots about you, but tell us what got you into the world of holistic care.
Yeah, you know, I really moved into this space due to my own personal health challenges. I am retired from the United States Air Force. And so there were a lot of things that I faced emotionally, one of those being PTSD after retiring. And so when you go through a lot of emotional stress on the body, it creates a lot of health challenges that I just did not anticipate. And so while I was on active duty, I was on a lot of medication that wasn't helping me to get better. And so I knew there had to be a different way. And so I went on a journey of really trying to recover my health holistically. And it was through my own personal experience, trying out different things that really led me down to the path of being in holistic health. And now I'm helping other women to recover their health with integrative medicine and doing that holistically.
Awesome. I love that. And I think a lot of times too, when people hear integrative health or wellness or holistic care, they're thinking, oh, they're anti-medication, traditional or not even traditional, modern medicine. Is that a true statement? And do you ever mix the two?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because I'm working with clients right now. I believe that in some respects, they can complement one another, especially if a person's been going through major health challenges, they may need medication management to help them work through what they're going through. For instance, one of the clients that I see, I work right alongside of her doctors in managing her current prescription medications and also integrating holistic health into that. So we work together. Now, because of the work that we've done, some of her medications have been reduced. And so I believe that there are times when medication is warranted. And at the same time, I believe that it can be complemented with integrative medicine as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I love how you're talking about the approach of the medical community and the holistic community coming together to work together. And that's really what something we talk a lot about here at the Shades of Motherhood. How do we get people to come together, to work together, to provide the best care that fits that individual? And so since we're on the subject of health and taking back your power and really taking your health and wellness into your own hands, for Black Maternal Health Week, we are talking about a lot of things around maternal health, but part of that maternal health circle is actually your own personal health. So tell me a little bit about your thoughts around why Black women are kind of in this space where they're struggling with their own personal wellness. And how do you help people find the type of wellness that fits them?
Yeah, now that's an outstanding question. I think for so long that we have been conditioned to rely on whether it's a medical model, whether it's an individual to tell us how we should care for our health. And recently I heard that self-care is the highest form of self-love. Get into the mindset that we as Black women must be our own health advocates, that's going to shift and change the position and the way that you view yourself as well as health. So I think it starts with that mindset and shifting that I must be the one to take my health into my own hands, because at the end of the day, no one is going to take better care of you than you. So it does start with that self-love, knowing that you have the right to receive excellent care, whether that's
Yeah.
through holistic means or even if it's through the medical system, that we have to shift the mindset that we have to be the ones to advocate for our health.
Yep. And we talk a lot about this too, like not knowing your body. And I learned a new phrase called medical, how did they say this? Medical literacy and body literacy. And when your literacy around health and your body and medicine is really low, you tend to not realize that there's something wrong, or you should be focusing on certain things, or you need to be gearing up for certain conversations or understanding different options. And so, in your book, Rock Your World Naturally, tell me what are people learning from your book? And why do you think it's important for Black women specifically to dive into this read?
I think you made a great point when you were talking about body language earlier. And one of the things that I've actually written in my book is that every one of our bodies, we're all different, what we call that bio-individuality. Every person's body has a language. And when it speaks, we must listen to it and give it what it needs and not what it wants. Because I think a lot of times as women, when our body is speaking, it can speak in the matter of aches, it can speak with pains, it can speak with fatigue. But many times we just continue to work through and ignore what the body is saying. So my book really teaches women how to stop, take a moment, and listen to what their body is needing, what it is saying. Is your body saying that I need more water? Is your body saying, hey, I need more rest? Some women are in that state where their bodies are actually screaming, but we're not listening and taking heed to what the body is speaking. And so if you keep ignoring the voices, ignoring the symptoms, eventually your body's going to break down. And I can speak to that personally because that's what happened to me, that I was ignoring the symptoms, I was ignoring the signs until I was in the ER and didn't know what was happening. And so I had to take a back seat to say, okay, I need to listen to my body. So it teaches women how to listen to their body and not only listen, but once you hear and you understand, it gives you the tools and the resources that you need to really feed and nurture your body.
Okay, can we just dive into something that you just said that was really profound? What in your expertise, you meet with a lot of different people, you meet with them in person and in Zoom. In your expertise, why are Black women ignoring their bodies? And I've actually talked about this with another friend, and I want to kind of get your input, and I would love for us to dialogue about it.
One of the things that I think is a major factor as to why Black women are ignoring their bodies is because I think life's distractions, because if you're working, you're trying to take care of kids, you're trying to take care of husband, you're trying to work, you're trying to do all of the things. And you put all of the things, and you're the last one on the list. And so there's nothing left over at the end of the day to really pour into yourself. Right now, I'm reading a book called Balance by Torre Roberts. And the book centers on the fact that when you take care of yourself first, and he gives the analogy of when we're on the airplane and they give the scenario with the oxygen mask that you put your oxygen on first, then you take care of your children. Because when you take care of yourself first, then you can pour into and take care of those who you are connected to. But we have it backwards. We're putting the oxygen mask on everything and everyone else. And at the end of the day, we don't have anything to sustain our personal well-being. So I think it has to do, because as Black women, we are nurturers. We love to take care of whether it's husband, children, community. We're pouring so much, but at the end of the day, we're neglecting the best part of who we are. And we can't even really be the best version of who we are as Black women if we do not prioritize taking care of our health first.
This, yes, 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 and more yes. So this conversation came up about why do Black women ignore their body? And it goes back to what I always talk about, humanizing Black and brown bodies, right? But there is a form of humanizing and liberation that Black women have to do as well. Because our bodies have always been belonging to someone else, or we had to think about how our bodies were impacting someone else, or how our bodies, connected to someone else. It's never just been, let me think about my individual body and what am I experiencing? And I think this is really a idea, thought, a training that we grow up with from very small girls. And I really think when we start our cycles, that is when really this gets exacerbated, you know? Make sure that you do this with your body because you're on your period. Make sure you're doing this with your hormones because you're, you know, this is how you can impact your people around you. There's so many pieces around how your body impacts someone else. Don't wear that because this person's gonna look at you, or don't do that because this person will do that. It's this question of how do people find their own bodily autonomy and reclaim their own selves, and not even for them, but also for their ancestors. And that's really hard. And around maternal health, when we talk about respective care, when we talk about cultural care, when we talk about respective care, all of these different things that we believe in and what we should be standing on, how can we get there if we're not able to realize that our bodies belong to us?
Absolutely. And again, our bodies, I believe that they are sacred to us as women. They are temples. And if you think, I had the opportunity when I was in the military, I was stationed in South Korea. One of the things that I had the opportunity to do was visit some of the Buddhist temples that were there. I was blown away by the immaculate care, the pristine just presence of those temples.
Yep.
And I thought, you know, this is just a physical structure and they take the best of care equivalent to our physical temple. Are we as women taking care of these physical temples? And we are the stewards of our bodies. And I totally agree with you that we have to begin to reframe our mindset on how we see our bodies, how we view our bodies. Because for too long, it has been ingrained in centuries of our bodies were owned by someone else, but our bodies really, we are the stewards and we must begin to care for these temples.
Absolutely. I want to give a little maternal health timeline history about the body of Black women. If you haven't heard of these stories, I really encourage you to check them out. We have different audio clips, different video clips that you could utilize. One, we're going to talk about our breasts. Wet nurses. Black women were required to nurse white children, and sometimes they would have to put their own children down in order to feed the other children. In many cases, that was the case. Two, when we talk about our uterus was owned by the master or the slave master or the owner to produce. It was not a it wasn't something that we could even think about how to keep womb care. It was how do we produce babies? And for those Black women who were dealing with infertility or had continual loss, their lives were in danger because of infertility. Three, we talk about the vagina. We talk very clearly about this, about the abuse that was subjected to Black women for centuries around slavery, and even up till to today, we still see large statistics around sexual assault and just body, their bodies being misused. We see this a lot in conversations around sex trafficking. What are we going to do about it? How are we going to do that? And last but not least, we want to talk about drama mania, which is the mind, the brain. This idea that if you were a slave and you ran away, you were actually insane. And so the mental clinicians came up with this term to diagnose slaves that would contrive to run away or get other people to run away from their plantation. These are just a few of the stories. Yeah. That deal with the timeline of maternal health and impacting the body. When we talk about the mind and the mental health supports that Black women need, how does your book speak to mental health and the importance for the nutrition and rocking your world naturally?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, because oftentimes the mental health component is a key missing link when it comes to the recovery of health. We cannot separate mental health from physical health, spiritual, because they're all intertwined. And so many years ago, even within the Black community, it was a taboo to even speak to someone about what you were going through, because it was the old cliche, what goes on in this house stays in this house. And so, you know, the fear of speaking to someone about what you have gone through is still, I think, deeply embedded, deep-seated within our Black culture, amongst Black women, because the fear that is there, that we have to move into a space where we're breaking beyond that fear to know that it's okay for you to talk to someone, because we can handle the nutritional piece side. Because a lot of times, I would say 9 times out of 10, this happens very often, that women will come to me because they're like, you know, I want to lose weight, I want to feel better, I want to have more energy. But even before we can get to that, we've got to unpack the emotional piece of what that person's going through. Okay, why are you emotionally eating? What is it that is causing you this mental and emotional fatigue? And 9 times out of 10, it can be traced back to some type of trauma or mental health that we address first before we can even get to, okay, we're going to do the right thing by creating a wellness plan to get you on track with your eating. So the mental health aspect, I deal with that almost 100% of the time when I'm working with a woman. And so we have to unpack those issues in order for her to move forward, thrive, grow. And I encourage every woman, I think every person needs to have a therapist. And I not only say that because I have a mental health background, but every single person needs to walk through this mental health piece, because it is so important to how you are feeling physically. Because emotionally, if you've got a lot of that trauma that's still trapped there, and there's just this emotional unrest and you have not dealt with it, it's going to manifest in your body. You're wondering why you're having aches and pains. You're wondering why you can't sleep at night. You're wondering why your body has, you have eczema, you have gut health issues. It's because we address the mental health aspect first.
That's deep. And a lot of times we don't correlate the two. We just say, oh, you're having eczema. That's just, you know, that runs in our family. We love saying that. It runs in our family. And this is not something about running through your family. This is actually a indicator that something else needs to be addressed. It's a chain reaction piece. And so I hear you on that. Can you tell me a little bit, maybe, what are your top three things in your book that you're like, Black women have to hear this message, and the time is now?
Okay. Top three things. The first thing, actually, I think it would be that mental health component. We must address the mental health because if we are not emotionally well, we cannot be powerful women. We cannot fully walk in step and live in our power, our purpose, because there's too much mental anguish, turmoil going on that will stagnate your growth. It will stagnate you from moving forward into living a healthier lifestyle. So, number one, mental health. Number two is, ladies, we must begin to think mindfully about how we are eating. And that's a generational thing, too, because when we go back centuries into not being able to have proper nutrition, not being able to have the things that we need to be healthy as women, and those mindsets have really been passed down generationally. You know, and there are certain things that we should not even be putting into our
Our
bodies
bodies.
because they break down the health. So I would say begin to mindfully think about what you're eating, that we need to move away from the processed food and get more into a whole food-based diet. Because one thing I like to say is you cannot be a whole woman if you are not eating whole food.
You might need to say that for the person in the back. One more time on that.
If you cannot be a whole woman if you are not eating whole food. And I say that because if we look at eating practices in different cultures, eating is spiritual. Eating is taken as a spiritual practice, and we don't look at eating whole food as a
No.
spiritual
No,
practice.
it's a pleasure. It's something that we indulge in. You know, we can see this from back way back in the day. They used to say, you know, the fat people were the rich people, because they were able to eat, and the skinny people were the poor people. They're the ones that didn't get anything. They didn't have enough nutrition. So this, in our culture, in our society, you're absolutely right. The spiritual, wow.
Yes. Eating is a spiritual practice. So, women, we must begin to think about eating on a spiritual level. Eating mindfully, is what I'm putting in my body needful? Is it going to give me the energy, the vitality, the strength that I need? Because if we are run down with no energy, we are not going to be able to fulfill purpose,
Not at
destiny,
all.
project, none of it,
Not at
because we're
all.
going to be too physically impaired to even do the things that we need to do. So
Absolutely.
my third top go-to is rest. Rest. And I dedicate a whole chapter to rest. And I say that because the statistics are alarming. 66% of women are diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. Number one underlying cause, lack of sleep.
Whoa. That's a high
66%,
number.
and it's increasing. That is two-thirds of the population. And that was a real wake-up call for me because, you know, and I'll say this in our family, we can't live without our sleep.
No, I'll be trying to take, I always try to take a little nap here and there, especially being pregnant. I'm like, this baby is like, you're going to bed. And now we work like crazy people. Now that's the one thing that
Yes.
everybody knows about us. Like, our grind and hustle is
The
hard. But we like to take our naps so that we can be sustainable.
Absolutely, because sleep is medicine. And we've gotten into a time where our sleep rhythms, the circadian rhythm of women has gotten so off because we're trying to take care of all the things. We must get sleep. There are 24 hours in a day. When we're working hard, we're working hard. But at the same time, when we're sleeping, the body repairs, the blood cells, the tissues, the ligaments, your brain functions, your hormones regulate. when we are sleeping. So that would be my third. So mental health, eating well, and getting the proper rest are the top threes that they'll be able to find in my book.
I love it. I love it. This has been such a powerful conversation during Black Maternal Health Week because we can't just talk about maternal health. We've got to talk about the whole wellness, the whole space. If people want to connect with you, Keisha, where can they do that?
Yes, people can find me on my website, rakesiamcmillan.com. You can also find me on Facebook at Rakesia McMillan and even on Instagram. And for those ladies that are listening, if they go to my Instagram page, send me a message and type health, I'll give them a free nutrition guide just for listening in on the show.
I love it. I love it. I'm so excited about sharing this podcast because, again, some of the stuff you're like, oh, I know this. I know this. But do you know it? Are you living it? Are you walking it? And I can tell y'all, no, my sister be on me, okay? Be on me. And sometimes I'm so good and sometimes I'm so bad. But having the information and then breaking those habits that you've created for 20 plus years, it's everything. And so, Keisha, what's one last thing you want our listeners to hear, before we end our podcast today?
Oh, ladies, as I shared earlier, that self-care is the highest form of self-love. And I just want to begin to encourage you to think about how are you loving yourself? Because when you begin to love yourself, nurture yourself, pour into yourself by giving your body all the things that it needs to be healthy, because what affects you affects your baby. It affects your children, your spouse, everyone and everything that you are connected to is impacted by the way that you care for yourself. And so my desire is for you to be the healthiest version of yourself. And that begins with self-love. And so I just want to leave that with the ladies on today.
Oh, thank you so much. This was so good. Listen, I hope this was good to your soul today because it definitely was great to mine. Please share this podcast, like it, give this to someone and let them listen to it. Listen together. Whatever it may be, give yourself space to learn and grow together. Thank you so much for coming through, Keisha. I appreciate you so much. You guys, all our listeners this week for Black Maternal Health Week, it's April 11th through the 17th. And don't forget, we have our gala that's taking place April 20th. Please don't miss it. It's going to be absolutely phenomenal. We're going to have such a good time. And we'd like to thank our sponsors for our podcast series of Black Maternal Health, Cambia Health Foundation. Appreciate y'all so much. We could not do this work without you. Until next time, bye.